Father in heaven, I want to thank you for giving us this opportunity to learn a little bit more about what it is that you're saying to the churches. We thank you for the question that has come in relating to Revelation chapter 5. I ask that you would give us the ability to see and understand what it is that you're saying, and we can apply it to our lives. We can realize that these words are not here for no reason. Help us to understand them, to understand your governance, your all the wonderful things that you have revealed to us in this word, the book of Revelation, so that we at the end of time can know how to interact with you and with others, and we can be blessed and transformed. Thank you for this opportunity. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to go to the question. There was only one question that came in on Revelation chapter 5, but it's going to be enough for us to be able to look at and understand in our time together. Questions from my family. Now, this is somebody who's on today, and I hope that you'll be blessed in response to this question and this consideration. Revelation 5, verse 1. It says, the book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. What is the book and the seven seals? Okay. I'm going to turn to Revelation chapter 5. We're going to read verse 1. I saw in the right hand. By the way, if you understand the right hand, you can realize that that is the righteousness of the Father. Okay. The right hand is what expresses his salvation, his righteousness, his power. It's his character. What makes him who he is. I saw in the right hand, in the very power, in the providence, in the righteousness of God. I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne, which is the Father. That's what we follow from chapter 4. It was a book, and it was written within and on the backside. Okay? It was sealed with seven seals. What is this book? Why is it there? What are the seals? So, you can see from the notes, the word book is mentioned 8 times in this chapter. And so what we have is 8 times in this chapter, whereas throne is mentioned only 5 times. Now remember, the word throne, if you go and understand what's happening in Revelation chapter 4, the word throne is actually described 12 times as it's translated, but it's 14 times in the Greek. In chapter 4 alone, the word throne, or seats, it's translated as well. So you have God the Father's throne being repeated over and over and over again in chapter 4. Well, God the Father, the 24 elders, the 4 living creatures, are the only ones in chapter 4. And then in chapter 5, what happens is Christ enters in. And we know that Christ brought with him those that were resurrected from the time that he was brought forth from the grave. That's like in Ephesians chapter 4, he brought captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. And so he brings these people before the Father in chapter 5. He's as a lamb that had been slain, but of course, John saw first that he was a lion. And when he turned, he saw that it was a lamb. And so, again, like we said yesterday, when he saw or heard something in chapter 1, he turned, it was something different. He saw something in chapter 5, or heard rather, and he turned and saw something different. Same thing in chapter 7, same thing in 17, same thing in 21. And it's not different in its entirety, it's just a different expression of that same thing. And so what we've seen there in chapter 5 is that the word throne occurs again, just like it had done 14 times in the Greek in chapter 4. But in 5, what we see is there's this repeat of the idea that the Father is on the throne, except the word throne is not used very many times in the book of Revelation chapter 5. It's only used 8 times compared to the 14 that was used in chapter 4. I'm sorry, 5 times, not 8 times. But the word book is used 8 times. And so you have this almost a transference of importance and focus. In chapter 4, the whole picture is who's on the throne. In chapter 5, the question is the same. Who's going to be able to open the book and then sit on that throne with the Father? So that's really the whole picture in a nutshell of chapter 4 and 5. Who's on the throne? who gets to open the seal in the right hand of the Father on the throne and then sit on the throne. And we know it was the Lion of the tribe of Judah. It was Jesus Christ, the Lamb, as he had been slain. And so that's the big picture. But now, so what we see in Revelation chapter 5, if we continue reading, there's something very interesting that goes on here. It says in chapter 5, verse 2, I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? Okay, so opening the book and loosening the seals is kind of the same thing. You can't do one without the other. In fact, the first thing that happened was the Lamb in chapter 6, verse 1, he took and he opened one of the seals. Why? Because the scroll had seven seals over it, it seems to me. So you have these seven seals, and he opened the first seal, and then he's going to open the second seal, he's going to open the third, he's going to open the fourth, he's fifth, sixth, and seventh. And so when he's done opening the seals, the book is completely open. I don't know if he was able to open one seal and then part of the book opens, he opens another seal and another part opens. I don't know, like if it was a seal within a seal, like a wheel within a wheel in Ezekiel chapter 1. I'm not sure exactly. I've never seen it with my own eyes. I've only read what the Bible says here. So there are a couple of options that you can look at, but it seems to me that it's a book which is a scroll with seven seals on it. Okay, that's how I understand it. So this angel cries out, who is able, who is worthy to open the book? By the way, you can look up the word worthy in the book of Revelation. You simply right click, search for the key number, and you'll be able to find all the times that it says in the New Testament, because it's Greek, the word worthy, and of course how John uses it in the book of Revelation. Now, chapter 5, verse 3, it says, no man, none, no. How, what part of no don't you understand? No man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. Why? Because nobody was found worthy. Okay? Who is worthy to do this? No man was worthy. It says in verse 4, I, John, wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to even look thereon. You can't look at it. You can't open it. You can't read it. One of the elders said unto me, okay, here's the elders again. These are the elders that were found in chapter 4 and also chapter 5 here. Weep not. Behold, it's not a man. It's a lion of the tribe of Judah. He's the root of David. We know according to the book of Revelation chapter 22, the root of David is Jesus Christ. He has prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And you can see in verse 6, you find that Jesus is the one who comes in as a lamb that had been slain. Remember, John heard that it was the lion. He turns and he sees that it's the lamb. And so what happens there is that the lion is able to loose the seals and to open the book and to read it. He's shown as a lamb that had been slain. Well, how is it that this lamb is able to open the book? Notice what it says in Revelation chapter 6. And verse 1, I'm just going to go down one chapter. It says, I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals. The first thing he did is open the seal. He didn't open the book first. I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the beasts saying, come and see. So these beasts are the, the cherubim mentioned in Ezekiel chapter 10. I saw, and behold, a white horse. And so what happens is, in verse 3, he, the Lamb, he opens the second seal. And what did he see? A red horse. Another horse that was red, right? And so it says in verse 7, verse 5. He opened the third seal, and there was a black horse. He opened the fourth seal, as it says in verse 7, and there was another horse. It was a pale horse, right? So we understand, according to the Bible, that when a seal was opened, a horse was given the ability to express itself, if you will, with the rider on it. The rider was different in various colors, okay? So you had the white horse representing purity. You can see that in Revelation chapter 19, the good works of the church or those that are the saints. You see the red horse Red generally represents blood in the Bible, referring to persecution. They were persecuted. And then you see the black horse. You know, there was blackness. There was no light. It was dark. And we know that to be, of course, Satan's reign, Satan's kingdom, Satan is ruling. And the pale horse was that which is a color that's not just pale necessarily. It's actually, it's almost like a yellowish minus green. So there's, not a lot of green in this color. And I've heard it described that, and you may have seen this before, if you take a piece of wood and lay it on your grass out in front of your yard or in your backyard for like a week or two, you pull it off, the grass isn't dead, but it's a different color. What color is it? It's pale. Okay, that's the same color, the pale horse. It's minus the chlorophyll. It doesn't have life. There is something there, but it doesn't have the sunshine, life, or chlorophyll that you get from the natural experiences of growing, as God would have you to. So it's there's a real farce or a real fakeness going on there with this life experience that is in the pale horse. And there's a lot of death, etc. So, but what you see is there's a time frame that goes on with these pale horses. There's a time of righteousness, then there's a time of persecution, there's a time of darkness, and then there's a time of blackness. So why do I say that? Well, here's why. Look at the Bible in Revelation chapter 6, and you can go to verse 12. When he opened the sixth seal, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, what happens? There's a great earthquake, the sun becomes black, the stars of heaven fall from the earth. There's fig tree, the fig tree is shaken and stars falling like that. Finally in verse 14, which by the way, you are right here. You are between, you're like that little period right there. You're between verses 13 and 14. So if you were to put a you are here mark in your Bible, in this prophecy, you'd put it right at the end after this period of chapter 13. So verse 14, the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together. This is the coming of Jesus. Okay, so what just happened in the six seals? You had Jesus Christ as a lamb as he had been slain. He opens the first seal and time is able to continue. He opens the second seal and time is able to continue. He opens the third seal, time, fourth seal, time, fifth seal, sixth seal, seventh seal, time. So basically what happens is John is weeping in chapter 5, and he's crying out because nobody is worthy to open this, you know, to loose the seals and to open the book, to read it, and even to look on it. What does that mean? It means nobody is worthy so that time can continue. If you reverse engineer this idea, basically what it's saying is if Jesus wasn't victorious in his perfect life here on earth, then time would not have continued. There would have been nobody worthy to open the book and to loose its seals. There would have been nobody worthy to allow time to continue. Those seals would have been unbroken, and everything we know of since Christ was on the earth until now, according to this prophecy, would have been completely nil, zero, zilch, nine, nothing. And so we have this description of Christ being able to open the book. What does that book mean then, according to the book of Revelation? Well, it must mean everything that would be happening in the future. All the choices, activities, the failures, the victories, the thoughts, the inactivity of God through his agents on earth. It would have been all God's providences. It would have been all the wars and earthquakes, all the famines and the experiences of food and blessings on the earth. All those things would not have continued. So what does this book contain? Notice some of the thoughts that I have here in this in these notes. The seals are opened, specifically mentioned in chapter 6, verse 1. And what was the result? Why was John crying? Time would not continue, except that the Lamb was able to open the seals. And so now, verse 1, what does it say? In the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. We can see what's going on in Deuteronomy chapter 17, verses 18 through 20. I'm going to go ahead and put that in there. And we're going to see that this section describes what was in the right hand, or should have been in the right hand, of the king. Every king in the, back in the day, in the time of the children of Israel, that the king represented God the Father or his son, depending on the situation and the scenario. Of course, God the Father is the ultimate king. He is the only true God. He is the only king without a king. He is the only God without a God. He is the only Lord without a Lord. The Son of God is God, and he has a God. He is a king, and he has a king. He is Lord, and he has a Lord. So that's why he is not considered the God of the Bible, Jesus, that is. His Father is the God of the Bible, and his Son we are commanded to worship because, of course, he is the Son of God. He is the Prince, and we are to worship him. So I completely honor the Father and the Son. But notice as we read this section in Deuteronomy 17, verse 18, it shall be when he, that is the king, sits upon the throne of his kingdom, that he's responsible for this now, he shall write him, so for himself, a copy of the law of God in a book out of that which is before the priests and Levites. So all of the blessings, all of the curses, all of the ceremonial services, all of the civil statutes, all of the things that God would command his people to write is supposed to be found in that book that the king himself is to write for himself. Notice what it says in verse 19. It shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes, to do them, that his heart be not lifted up above his brethren, and that he turn not aside from the commandment, to the right hand or to the left, and to the end that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel. And so right here in the right hand of him that sat upon the throne, as it says in Revelation 5 verse 1, is all that we just read about in Deuteronomy 17 verses 18 through 20. All the things that God is to do through that king, he's to have at his right hand, okay? So God the Father has that for himself at his right hand, and the Son of God was the only one worthy to come and take that book from the Father and sit down, because the Son had fulfilled all of every single statute and commandment and judgment and requirement that was found in that book. Nobody else was worthy to do so. Christ was the only one who was able to fulfill his Father's will. And so we can see that Jesus had the right. He was worthy to open that book. What did that contain? It contained all the future activities of everybody on the face of the earth since the time of Christ. And so that's why we read in the notes that it says, I'll read that in just a second. I'm going to actually cut that and put it down after this right here. So let's read this comment. In manuscript 9, page 7, the second paragraph, it says, there in his open hand lay the book. That would be in the Father's hand. The roll of the history of God's providences. The prophetic history of nations and the church. Whoa! Are you telling me that Sister White just said all of that in one sentence? Yes. Why? Because she understood that the Bible was teaching that the seals released time. And so her understanding of the seals and the church during the 1800s, the mid-1800s, and their understanding of the church and how it was in different segments all through the history from the time of Christ until the second coming of Christ it's good Bible study. It's good truth. That's what the church was teaching, and that's, of course, what I believe is true. And we just saw that in Revelation chapter 6. So it's the history of God's providences, the prophetic history of nations and the church. Herein was contained the divine utterances. Wait a minute. Kind of like what the king had at his right hand on the throne in Deuteronomy? Yes, exactly. His authority, his commandments, his laws, and the whole symbolic council of the eternal, which would be in the symbolic ceremonies that was described there in Deuteronomy chapter, I don't remember what chapter it was. Let me look here. It's in Deuteronomy chapter 17. And it's the history of all ruling powers in the nations. Now remember, it's the nations and the church. I do believe, according to the scripture, it makes it clear that it is from the time of Christ and further, okay? Not necessarily from before Christ, though it could, I have no problem with that. I just understand it to be from the time of Christ and forward, because we see that from the time of Christ and forward, it's relating to the churches, to the seals, and to the trumpets. That's how I've understood it. That's how I feel it is consistent with the sanctuary, with the literary structure of the book of Revelation itself, with seven picture of Christ and seven, picture of Christ and seven, picture of Christ and seven. That would be churches, seals, and trumpets. And so what we find here in these writings of the ninth manuscript release is, herein was contained the divine utterances, his authority, commandments, laws, symbolic counsel of the eternal, and the history of all the ruling powers and the nations. In symbolic language was contained in that role the influence of every nation, tongue, and people. In what kind of language? Symbolic language. From the beginning of Earth's history to its close. You know what? She just said different than what I had said, so I stand corrected. It does contain the from the beginning of Earth's history to its close. So there you go. There you have it. My understanding of Revelation chapter 6, starting from the time of Christ, and up to the time of Christ, contained in that seal, does not necessarily mean just from the time of Christ up into the second coming. Now, I still do hold that the seal or the prophecy is from the time of Christ until the second coming of Christ. The reason being is, you have a lamb as he'd been slain, and that was at the time of the cross, and then of course the second coming. So now, what's contained in the book here would be, of course, as she says, all of the influences, the role that contains the influences of every nation, tongue, and people from the beginning of Earth's history to its close. So in that case, I stand corrected. Now, so written within and on the backside, what does that mean? So Ezekiel 2, 7, let's see, through chapter 3, verse 4. So Ezekiel 2, verse 7, and I'm going to go to the Bible app and I'm going to paste that in. And when you have a bullet point, it won't pick it up. We're going to read this section here, and we're going to see from chapter 2, verse 7 to 3, verse 4, what it says. God is speaking to Ezekiel, "Thou shalt speak my words unto them," okay, to the children of Israel, "whether they will hear or whether they will forbear. For they are most rebellious." This is the children of Israel. God is speaking through to his prophet about his people. "But thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee. Be not thou rebellious like that rebellious house. Open thy mouth and eat that I give thee." In other words, you're going to eat something, kind of like in Revelation chapter 10, where John was told that he was going to eat something. It would be sweet in his mouth, but bitter in his belly. Same thing that happens right here in this section. You'll notice what happens in Ezekiel chapter 2. It says, "Be thou not like this rebellious house. Open your mouth and eat what I give you." Verse 9. "When I looked, behold, an hand was sent unto me, and lo, a roll of a book was therein. And he spread it before me, and it was written within and without." In other words, on the inside and on the outside. "And there was written therein," what was written? "Lamentations and mourning and woe." So wait a minute. In Revelation chapter 5, we have seen that there is a book that is written within and on the backside, or within and without. And it contains stuff that will be revealed after the seals have been released, and there's history that continues. So when you open that book, you're going to be able to see all the stuff that was shown when the seals were opened, which is the history of the earth. And so right here we can see in verse 10 of chapter 2, "He spread it before me, and within it and without was written lamentations and mourning and woe. So moreover, he said unto me, eat that thou findest." In other words, eat what you have found. eat this roll. What is this roll? This roll is written within and without, and within there are lamentations, mourning, and woe. So he was going to eat it. Eat that thou findest. Eat this roll and do what? Go and speak unto the house of Israel. Wait a minute. What are you going to speak? You're going to speak the lamentations, the mourning, and the woe. Those things that are found written in that book, which of course, if you recall in Deuteronomy 17, the king was supposed to write all the things that were written in the Levitical priesthood and the law, the commandments, the ordinances, and he was to put those things right next to him so that he, for himself, would know how to keep those things and his heart would not go astray against God. So basically, the law of the land was to be the foundation of the king. It was to be at his right hand. And so you see in verse 1 of chapter 3 of Ezekiel, moreover, he said unto me, so this is God the Father speaking unto Ezekiel. Interestingly, he has called him Son of Man. Eat that thou findest. Eat this roll and go and speak unto the house of Israel. I opened my mouth and he caused me to eat that roll. What was that roll? It was all the things that God had spoken, lamentation, mourning, and woe. He said unto me, Son of Man, cause your belly to eat and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then did I eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. Wait a minute. John went through that in Revelation chapter 10. And he said unto me, Son of Man, go and get thee unto the house of Israel and speak what? With my words unto them. So earlier, what he said was, eat the roll, what you find, and then go and speak. Go and speak what? Go and speak with my words. So the roll contained the lamentations, mourning, and woe. He was to eat that, all those lamentations, mourning, and woe. And after he ate, he was what was in his mouth he was to use to speak to the children of Israel. And he spoke with God's words. And so it seems pretty clear to me that all of the commandments of God, the ordinances, the history, all of the providences, everything that has ever been said and done, in concert with his blessings and curses that we find, in, I think it's Leviticus 28 and Deuteronomy 26. I may be wrong in those, but that's, I think, where the blessings and the curses are. It's been a long time since I've seen those and looked at those chapters. But you can find them anyways, if those are not the right references. But all those things are contained in Revelation chapter 5, verse 1. I'm going to turn there again, Revelation 5, and you can see, I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside. It was sealed with seven seals. The only one who was able to open that book of all of God's providences, of all of the history, of all of the blessings and the curses, the interactions, the laws and the commandments, and all of the things that God has done for his people, instructed for his people, and all of what his people have reacted to in response to God and his commandments, it's all contained in that book. And it's fascinating that the only one who was able to open that book is our Savior, Jesus Christ, the one worthy to open that book because of his righteousness. And so not only is he the lion, but he's also the lamb slain from the foundation of the earth that would be able to open that book and to loose it. So I feel that the question there described in this first section here is, where is it? What is the book written within on the backside, the seven seals? What is the book and the seven seals? I feel like we were able to answer that a little bit, not in its entirety, I'm sure, but you all probably have plenty to say about that. We're going to look at a few other things in the Bible and see what it is that is being described by a few of the other things in that verse as well. So take a peek at the notes with me as I go to the word sealed. What does this mean? Well, making something official, as in the king's signet. Now, we could look up all these verses if you want. In fact, what I could do is probably just go and paste every one of these. Take out that little thing there at the beginning and enter. Nah, there's too many. And so, oh, that's what it is. They don't like the, what do you call that? The parentheses. So I'm going to just take those out real quick. You can see how I'm using this in case you want to use it in the future. And hit enter. And there we go. We have all the verses. 1 Kings 28, verse 8, which we can see is this first one here. 28, verse 8. She wrote letters in Ahab's name. This is, I believe, Jezebel. And sealed them with his seal. And sent the letters unto the elders and to the nobles that were in his city, dwelling with Naboth. Okay, so this is a woman doing something contrary to Ahab's wishes. And was it contrary? I don't remember the story well enough. I'm sorry. You'll have to look at it for yourself. But she was, let me just say it this way. She was doing something in Ahab's name. Why? Because she had his seal. Okay, and so she was able to write letters and put his signet on those letters, and it was received as though it was from Ahab, though it wasn't even from Ahab, it was from her. And then in Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 38, because of all this, we make a sure covenant and write it, and our princes and Levites and priests, they seal unto it. How did they do that? Of course, with a signet. A seal, probably a ring or stamp of some sort. In Esther, if you remember that story, then were the king's scribes called unto the 13th day of the first month, and there was written according to all that Haman had commanded unto the king's lieutenants, and to the governors that were over every province, and to the rulers of every people of every province according to the writing thereof, and to every people after their language. In the name of King Ahasuerus, as it was written, and sealed with the king's ring. So now remember, Haman was the one that had written this up, and he sealed it with the king's ring because the king had given him his signet or his ring. And so you can find in Esther, you can find in Daniel, you can find in Matthew, in Job, in Song of Solomon, Ezekiel and Daniel, there's plenty of uses of the signet ring, and that's all making something official in the name of the king. Okay, so it's sealed. Well, in Revelation chapter 5, it was sealed, right? Revelation chapter 5. Right, there we go. It says there was a book that was written and it was sealed. Whose seal would that be? That was the Father's seal. And who's the one that opens the seal? His Son. So remember, according to the Bible, all things are of the Father by the Son. You see it right here in the opening of the seals as well. The Father has a book. The Father has a book with seals. And the only one, and it is of the Father, the only one that can open the book is the Son, the only mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And so this whole Father and Son scenario and the mediation of the Son between God and men, it's all through the book of Revelation. And so the book is non-Trinitarian, absolutely. And so it's just fascinating how when I started studying the book of Revelation for myself and went through it in detail, that's what helped me understand that God is a Father and His Son is His Son. There is one true God and the Son of the one true God. He's the only Son of God and He's the only true God. And so we have this scenario in just played out time and time again in the book of Revelation. That's also where I understood better about the ministration of the angels, something I had talked about before, like when kids were delivered from being drowned or when you found your keys when they were lost, it was praise the Lord for the angels. But now I realize that angels are directly involved with our salvation. You can see that in the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. You can see it in Isaiah chapter 6. You see it in the way that Peter was delivered from the prison in the book of Acts. You can see it all through how Daniel was delivered from the lions in Daniel chapter 6. And on and on, on and on, on and on. You can see that there are many times where God has delivered man as a result of the ministration of angels. So I'm going to go back to my notes real quick and see that there's plenty of verses there you can see and study for yourself. It's a stamp signifying a commitment or a transaction as well. Song of Solomon, Isaiah, Jeremiah, John, Romans. And then, of course, you can see Isaiah 29, 9 through 14. And this is interesting because it's describing a sealed book. We're going to see what the Bible talks about, a sealed book. Stay yourselves and wonder. Cry you out and cry. They are drunken, but not with wine. They stagger, but not with strong drink. The Lord has poured out upon you the spirit of deep sleep and has closed your eyes. So it's almost like a, what do you call it? A vaccine, right? Something that will make you tired or some kind of, not a vaccine necessarily, but some kind of medication. This is the Lord's pharmakia, if you will, but it's not the same thing. It's definitely a spirit of deep sleep. Well, what happens with this? The prophets and your rulers, the seers, hath he covered. Wait a minute, there's no prophets that can see. There's no rulers that have foresights. And there's no seers that have prophecies. Nope, he's covered them. The vision of all is become unto you as the words of a book that is sealed. Oh, wait a minute, there's no vision. There's no prophets. There's no prophetic demonstration, which men deliver to one that is learned. So, okay, so these visions, they're in a book that is sealed. Okay, so these men deliver it to one that is learned, somebody educated. They say, read this, I pray thee. And he said, well, I can't read it because it's sealed. I can't even open it. Well, the book is delivered to him that is not learned. So somebody who hasn't been educated, and they say, read this, I pray thee. And he says, well, I can't because I can't even read. I'm not learned. Wherefore the Lord said, forasmuch as this people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips, they do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. Therefore, behold, I will proceed to do a marvelous work among this people, even a marvelous work and a wonder, for the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent men shall be hid. And then, of course, Matthew 15, 7 through 9. What did Jesus do when he spoke to the children of Israel? You hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you in what we just read, saying, this people draw near me with their mouth, and they honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Listen to me and hear me well. When God has taught about himself that he is the only true God and he has a son, but the world has listened to the teachings of Satan and they have said, no, that's not true. God is really three in one. There's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. One co-eternal God. That's Trinitarianism. Or some will say, well, it's not really so. In fact, I had somebody just on Facebook the other day telling me, no. There's not one God in three. There's three gods. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. That's called tritheism. These are not biblical terms, and it is not what God has described about himself. If we're teaching these things, we are teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And in vain, we are worshiping God. That's what the scripture is teaching. We have the inability to see. We can't read the law. We can't understand the books. We can't understand from the visionaries, the seers, the prophets, the leaders. We don't know. We don't understand. This is very serious. And so for us to be teaching the doctrines and commandments of men, like Sunday, for example, Sunday is not a biblical commandment. It is something that is man-made. It is given directly by the Trinitarian doctrine and the Trinitarian God, the God of Rome. And this God has given us Sunday to worship that God. The God of the Bible, through his Son, has given us Saturday, the Sabbath, the seventh day, to honor and worship him. And so those that are worshiping the day that the one true God has given, while honoring the God of Rome, they will not fare well in the times before us. This is going to be troublesome. They're going to receive a mark, not in their hand because they're not breaking the Sabbath. They're going to receive the mark in their forehead because they believe in the name of the beast, the number of his name. And so it seems to me that we need to take seriously the truths that are being given to us by the Bible. We need to understand them. We need to be serious about them. And we need not teach the commandments of men, but rather find what it is that the Bible is saying, what it is that all of the spirit of prophecy is saying, including the writings of Moses all the way through John and the continuing prophets that God has revealed to us and given to us. And so it is very serious to understand these things. Now, I believe that in Revelation chapter 5, verse 2, The book, or scroll, was by the side of the king on his throne, containing the law of God written with his own hand. We read that already. And in Ezekiel 2 verses, we already read that as well, that there is a book that contained all the wonderful things that God had given. Now, let me read a few more thoughts here. The Lamb is one who breaks or opens the seals in Revelation chapter 6. The book or scroll must also contain the deeds of all those who have ever lived on this earth, either in concert or contrast to that law. So I did actually say that this way in my notes, but I had said it differently beforehand. But like I said, I stand corrected. It does contain all the deeds that have of those that have lived on this earth, either in concert or in contrast to the commandments of God. The final seal will be broken in chapter 8, verse 1, where there is silence in heaven as Christ comes for his people. The book or scroll will then be fully unsealed, and we will be able to look over the things written therein as judges in heaven. You can see that in Revelation chapter 20, verse 4. Paul says in Romans 2, verse 16, God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel, which are the things written by the prophets, and how we have reacted to them. And so that's the end of the notes there, but I feel as though we've been able to look a little bit at what it is that the seal and scroll, or rather the scroll is that was sealed, or the book that was sealed. What does that mean? I feel like it's a lot of information, what it contains. Now, can we be specific with what it contains? I would say no, because I don't know what's all in your life, just like you don't know what's all in my life. But God knows through his agency what it is that is going on in every part of this earth. And that's what's contained in the scroll. So I think what's in it is far more than we could ever understand here on this earth. But will we understand it in the future? Absolutely. I think God is going to reveal these things to us. So I am very grateful to having been able to have this time to be able to share with you. And I pray that God will continue to bless us as we study. So I want to praise God for sending his son so that those seals could be open and time could continue. So that now, right now, during the time of the sixth seal that we are currently living in, we have the opportunity to live and to have the chance to accept Christ as our personal Savior, to be transformed by the grace that God has given to us and his Son has given to us. And we can have the opportunity here on this earth to reflect his holy character and to honor his name. So it's a blessing to be here. Thank you so much.